Harassment is illegal and not tolerated in any workplace. Harassment can inflict serious damage on an organization's productivity and morale. It causes absenteeism, employee turnover, depression, illness, embarrassment, and humiliation. And individuals named in harassment complaints could lose their jobs, their reputations, and even their careers. Workplace harassment occurs when people are treated poorly or unfairly because of a perceived difference. Court rulings have established protected groups that are afforded legal protection from workplace harassment. These groups are defined by race, color, and national origin. Religion, either because of a person's faith or beliefs, or pressure to join or convert to a faith. Disability, either mental or physical. Family status, including marital status and pregnancy. Gender. Age, for employees 40 and over. Genetic information. And sexual orientation and gender identity. In addition, local laws and organizational policies prohibit the harassment of many other groups of employees. To put it simply, harassment of any type is unacceptable. There are two types of harassment: hostile environment and quid pro quo. Quid pro quo harassment occurs when a manager or supervisor withholds or awards job benefits on the basis of sexual favors. This includes work assignments, hiring, termination, promotions or demotions, positive or negative performance reviews, or any other job-related benefit. Enduring harassment as a condition of employment is another form of quid pro quo harassment. For instance, it's illegal for a warehouse manager to tell his employees that they will simply have to ignore culturally offensive comments from their coworkers because they are commonplace in blue-collar jobs. And it would also be unlawful for a restaurant supervisor to tell employees to put up with racial slurs from customers because it's part of the job of being a server. Just one incidence of quid pro quo harassment is illegal. Hostile environment harassment occurs when a pattern of offensive conduct unreasonably interferes with an individual's work performance or creates an intimidating, hostile, or offensive working environment. In most cases, harassment must be continuous and unwanted to rise to the level of illegal harassment. However, while a single, isolated incident does not generally rise to the level of illegal harassment, severely inappropriate behavior, such as the touching of an intimate body part, can be illegal the first time it occurs. Inappropriate conduct can create a hostile work environment even if it's not directly targeted at the person making the harassment complaint. Harassment doesn't just happen between coworkers. Harassment also occurs between employees and individuals not directly employed by their organization. Individuals such as contractors, consultants, delivery persons, vendors, and even customers. Harassment can occur anywhere that employees represent their organizations. This includes work parties, dinner with clients, conferences, trade shows, sales calls, and charity events. The courts use the reasonable person standard when determining if offensive conduct is illegal. In other words, would a reasonable person find the behavior severe enough to create a hostile work environment? The fact is that most offensive behaviors, when they are continuous and unwanted, meet this standard. The safe way to avoid harassment is to avoid these behaviors entirely. The following conduct is unacceptable in any workplace, and when targeted toward a protected group, could lead to illegal harassment: ridicule, mockery, insults or put-downs, physical assaults or threats, intimidation, or physically blocking a person's movement or ability to work, the use of demeaning or offensive names, or the use of slurs or epithets, gossiping or spreading rumors about coworkers, jokes, banter, or remarks that are demeaning or degrading, menacing looks or gestures intended to threaten, intimidate, or humiliate a coworker, texting pictures, messages, or videos that offend, demean, or harass a coworker, sending offensive or harassing emails, viewing offensive websites, and using social networking sites for harassing or offensive behavior, sexual harassment, which includes any continuous, unwanted behavior of a sexual nature, whether physical, visual, or verbal, disparaging comments about a person's job ability, such as, he is too old to understand technology. Inappropriate remarks or jokes about pregnancy, childbirth, or medical conditions related to pregnancy or childbirth. Offensive gender-based comments or behaviors that demean people simply because of their gender, such as, a woman's place is in the kitchen, not the boardroom. Excluding or isolating coworkers from work-related activities and assignments because of a non-work-related reason, such as race, religion, gender, or sexual orientation. Incidents of quid pro quo harassment and severely inappropriate actions, such as the touching of an intimate body part, threats, or intimidation, must be reported immediately. For less serious conduct, it is helpful, but not required, to tell coworkers that their behavior is unwanted. However, employees should report incidents of inappropriate behavior before they become severe or pervasive. Although some information must be divulged in the process of investigating complaints, confidentiality is guaranteed to the greatest extent possible. It is illegal to retaliate against employees for making or participating in a harassment complaint. This means that managers and employers cannot punish or discipline employees for filing or participating in a harassment complaint. Likewise, non-management employees cannot bully, harass, intimidate, or threaten coworkers for participating in a harassment complaint. Even if the complaint is found to be without merit, the participants are protected if they had a good faith belief that harassment occurred. Harassment has consequences. Both harassment and retaliation can result in disciplinary actions, including written warnings, suspension, demotion, and termination. Harassment charges often affect future career advancement and may even hamper the ability to be hired by another organization. The loss of personal reputation and trust with coworkers, friends, and family can be devastating and life-altering. What can you do to prevent harassment? It's simple. Leave offensive behaviors at the door. Treat everyone with respect. And speak up when you see harassment. Every employee deserves a safe, comfortable environment at work. A workplace free of harassment and fear, and full of respect. It's up to everyone to do their part in preventing harassment. Embracing the talents of people from all cultures, races, ethnicities, faiths, beliefs, and personal experiences is imperative for organizations that wish to succeed in today's increasingly diverse world. With demographics becoming more racially and ethnically diverse every year, a recent surge in legal protections for more groups of employees, the trend of an increasingly later retirement age, and a rising number of women in the workplace, our labor force has never been more diverse or primed for success. Organizations that have seen the critical need to attract and retain diverse talent and have made diversity and inclusion part of their core values have proven to be far more successful than those that have not. Focusing on workplace diversity has become so important that all employees have an obligation to educate themselves on what diversity is, why it's so important, and the steps they need to take to embrace it and participate in it. When most people think of diversity, they think of the groups protected from harassment and discrimination by federal or local law, race, color, age, sex, pregnancy or family status, disability, religion, national origin, genetic information, military status, sexual orientation, and gender identity. While these court-mandated protections have created a much fairer and more equitable workplace, a truly effective diversity policy protects and embraces all of the diverse characteristics employees possess, regardless of an obligation to do so. Some less thought of, but no less important examples, include citizenship status, income, net worth, credit history, criminal history, education, address, upbringing, life experience, physical appearance, physical abilities, critical thinking ability, language fluency, communication skills, work style, hobbies, clubs and affiliations, work experience, and political affiliation. To put it simply, workplace diversity is all of the diverse traits, beliefs, talents, knowledge, styles, and experience employees bring to the workplace. And an effective diversity policy goes far beyond any legal protections by seeking, accepting, and including all of these differences. The ethical standards of modern society demand the fair and equal treatment of everyone in the workplace. Organizations that fail to embrace diversity and inclusion run the risk of negative reports becoming disclosed through press coverage, social media, and word of mouth. This unwanted attention can lead to a tarnished reputation, negatively affecting both customer and employee relationships and the ability to attract talent from the labor force. Furthermore, organizations that don't value diversity run the risk of violating federal, state, and local equal opportunity laws, which could result in both government fines and serious civil and criminal penalties. Lastly, diversity is a business imperative. Valuing diversity and inclusion takes advantage of the talents, experiences, and knowledge of every employee and results in both an increase in employee morale and the ability to recruit, retain, and hire a talented and diverse staff. Consequently, diverse organizations become more productive, innovative, and creative, allowing them to serve, retain, and market to diverse customer bases, both locally and globally. Understanding why people have developed stereotypes and biases is the essential first step to creating a diverse and inclusive workplace. Every human being has biases that form from a lifetime of interactions and experiences. Media, television shows, movies, family, friends, and personal experiences all play a role in this development. While having biases and stereotypes is natural, allowing them to negatively affect interactions with people at work is unacceptable. It's critical that all employees take the time to uncover personal biases and understand why they have developed. Most employees want to believe their actions are untainted by bias, so this reflection can be uncomfortable. However, this information is needed to combat deeply ingrained preconceptions and to leave biases at the door when arriving at work. Battling personal biases that have been formed over a lifetime is never easy, so it's important to utilize the three most important actions needed to combat them: respect, inclusion, and finding common ground. All interactions at work must start with respect. This includes all relations with coworkers, customers, vendors, and any other person that employees come in contact with on the job. Without a foundation of respect, diversity and inclusion are impossible. Therefore, every communication, whether it be verbal, nonverbal, electronic, or in person, should focus on respect. Much of respect is simple, yet its effect is powerful. Saying please and thank you, listening to others without interruption, and arriving on time for meetings are all essential. When communicating verbally, never use sarcastic, patronizing, angry, or annoyed tones of voice. In addition, unnecessary criticism, put-downs, and insults are never acceptable. Disrespectful communication can also be nonverbal. Nonverbal communication is often subconscious, and it takes diligent and consistent effort to pinpoint and eliminate behavior that conveys disrespect. During face-to-face communication, be sure to maintain eye contact, avoid looking at a watch or phone, and eliminate disrespectful gestures and eye rolling. Electronic communication should be written clearly and politely. Without the benefit of facial expression and voice inflection, messages can be easily misconstrued. Additionally, texts and emails should be returned promptly. If an immediate response is not possible, politely acknowledge receipt and explain why there will be a delay. Treating everyone with respect, regardless of personal characteristics, beliefs, or affiliations, is essential to creating a diverse and open workplace. When every employee, from a brand new entry-level worker to the CEO, receives the same high level of respect, it helps ensure that all of an organization's valuable talent and resources are utilized. Thank you. Inclusion is the appreciation and active involvement of every diverse employee's unique talent, knowledge, and experience. Inclusive organizations recognize the great value of diverse perspectives and welcome employees with different backgrounds, beliefs, and characteristics. Every employee has a role in developing an inclusive workplace, and should. Sincerely listen to and consider contributions from every member in work teams, groups, or committees. Avoid situations that may exclude a team member, like making a team decision or working on a team project at a social event when one member of the team has not been invited. Never allow biases and stereotypes to waste valuable talent, knowledge, and experience. For instance, age-based biases might waste the valuable insight younger employees have on how to market to Generation Y customers, or squander the technological expertise and talent of older employees. Refrain from making comments that highlight stereotypes, such as, "It's rare to meet a female programmer," or "It's not often that you see an Asian publicist." Remarks like these make people feel that their talent and potential is limited and that their contributions are less valued. And seek out input, ideas, and advice from coworkers who might provide valuable insight from a different perspective. All employees have diverse characteristics, which make them unique. However, there are common human values, aspirations, and beliefs that are shared among man or woman, young or old, and in nearly every culture, ethnicity, and nationality around the world. Finding common ground starts with education. For instance, taking time to research the unfamiliar faith or culture of a coworker may provide valuable insight and understanding that leads to a more productive relationship. In the process, employees will undoubtedly find commonalities with their own cultures or faiths, allowing them to relate to their coworkers personally. After all, virtually every culture on the planet shares the same basic values, such as family, justice, and love. Additionally, all employees should make a sincere effort to discover their coworkers' ideas, needs, and goals. In the process, they may just find that they align with their own, leading to greater respect and inclusion. Common ground is also found through open, honest, and respectful communication. Employees who feel disrespected should politely but openly communicate their feelings to the offending party. More often than not, the disrespectful behavior is made out of ignorance, not malice, and honest, respectful communication almost always leads to understanding. Conversely, staying silent or responding with anger, resentment, or suspicion usually leads to an unproductive and stressful relationship that wastes an organization's time, talent, and resources. While creating a diverse and inclusive workplace may not always be easy, the benefits are so significant that it has become a requirement in today's increasingly diverse world. Organizations that value diversity have great productivity and efficiency, creativity and innovation, higher employee morale, and lower employee turnover. By accepting that we all have stereotypes and biases, and by working toward mitigating those stereotypes through respect, inclusion, and finding common ground, every employee and organization will be more successful.